On the other end of our phone line this morning is a returning author. In fact, she was with us roughly a month ago, but we wanted to have her back to read some actual stories from her book, A Stone for the Journey. Let's welcome back Rochelle Wisoff Fields. Good morning, Rochelle. How are you today?
Good morning, Paul. I am well and hope you are too.
I am. Just as we head into the cold weather, just trying to stay warm. Once I accomplish that, everything else seems to be easy. How about you?
Same here. They're predicting a cold winter. We'll see what happens.
Well, that means lots of time near my furnace. That's our fireplace. Huh? That's how I see it.
Works for me.
Yeah, I'll leave the braving the cold. I'll leave for other people. Those who enjoy it, have at it.
I agree.
I'll be the guy inside getting the coffee ready for those who are coming out of the cold. That's how brave I am. All right. Well, we want to hear more about your book, A Stone for the Journey, in just a couple minutes. But for our listeners who have not heard you before, even though you've been on our show a couple times now, can you just give us an overview of the other books that you've written? Because I know they've gone really well and sold well and critically acclaimed. So if you can just give us a quick overview of the books you've written so far before we get to the book of today.
Okay. My publisher refers to my trilogy of novels as the Chava Gitterman Saga. Mm-hmm. And it begins with the first book, Please Say Kaddish for Me, mm-hmm. in 1899, when Chava is 16. Okay. The second book, From Silt and Ashes, chronicles her and her family settling in America, i.e. Kansas City. Mm-hmm. And the third book, As One Must, One Can, is a continuation of their being Americanized and dealing with the PTSD of the past, which, of course, they didn't call it that in 1909.
Right.
But so the trilogy takes Chava from 1899 as a girl to 1909 as a young mother.
Just out of curiosity, then, is this historical fiction? Is this novel? Is it straight ahead fiction? How did you approach this whole series?
It is indeed historical fiction. Mm-hmm. In fact, the reader will recognize some of the characters who show up mm-hmm. in the book, such as Theodore Roosevelt.
Okay.
All
right. Also, when you started, you said the first one was Please Say Kaddish for Me. Were you intending it to be one and done, or did you intend to have a series right out of the gate?
I intended it to be one and done. I didn't foresee a trilogy, and at the end of the book, another story started happening, and I had to write a second, and then the third just popped up right on its heels.
Right. Well, very good. And I read in your bio that your books have been critically acclaimed, critically acclaimed novels. So we hope people check them out. And what's the best way for people to get a hold of your series or all of your books? Go to Amazon or your website? What do you recommend?
Amazon.com is one way. You'll find all four of the books. Or BarnesandNoble.com also carries them. And you can go to my website, www.RochelleWisoff.com, and there are links, and my email address, runtshell, RUNTSHELL, @gmail.com, and I will personally autograph them and send them out.
Wow, very good. All right, well, that's impressive, and we hope people do that right away. Let's turn to your newest book now. Just looks like it was released in August, and we talked about it the last time you were on the show, A Stone for the Journey, which you described as a coffee table book. And as I best recall, not only did you write the entire book, but you did all of the artwork as well. Is that do I remember that correctly?
You remember that absolutely correctly.
All right. Very good. I'm not as old as I thought. I can still remember details like that. I mean, just to begin with, writing a book is impressive. Doing the artwork is impressive. But to do both, I mean, I don't think there are a lot of people who can do both. So you're obviously very talented and gifted. And just glad you're on our show explaining this book today, A Stone for the Journey. Now, do you want to take us through the book? Just give us an idea of what it's about. And then we want to get into, if you have time, and if you don't mind, having you read some stories. But first, tell us what it's all about.
Hey, it's called A Coffee Table Companion Book because what it is illustrations and short stories that go from it, that are related to all three of the novels.
Okay.
I divided it into three sections, stories from the first novel and then stories from the second and so on. And each story has an illustration to go with it.
And you did the illustrations yourself?
I did, which was a joy.
While you were working on this book, your toughest decision each morning when you got up is, do I want to write today or do I want to draw? That's not a bad way to go.
And some days, most days, I do both.
Oh, okay. That's even more impressive. It's kind of like the old decision when you live on the beach. You know, do I want coffee to start my day or do I want iced tea? That's the toughest decision I'll make all day. So. And then you have both, just like you did. You know, you wrote and drew often in the same day. That's pretty impressive.
Indeed.
Now, you call this a coffee table companion book because they can read A Stone for the Journey, but they won't get all of the details that were in your original trilogy. Is that correct?
That is correct, because the ulterior motive here is we call it a coffee table book because it's hardback, full color pictures, something you might want to display on your coffee table.
Yeah.
The stories are little excerpts and a teaser, if you will, hopefully to whet the reader's interest in the novels to find out more.
Okay. Well, that makes perfect sense to me. Roughly how long is each story in terms of words, in terms of pages? I mean, can they get through a story fairly quickly or are they fairly lengthy?
Each story fills one page. Hmm. So okay. It goes anywhere from 100 words to 500 words.
Okay.
Max.
All right. So perfect coffee table book. You can pick it up quickly, read a story or two, and then put it down, come back, read another story or two. And I think that's a great way to go. I wish you very much success. Has it gone okay so far for you in terms of feedback and sales?
So far, I've gotten some wonderful feedback and did a fair a couple of weeks ago where I sold my art and my books. Wow. And sold out of the coffee table book.
Wow. That's that's, as I like to say, that's a good problem to have, isn't it?
It is. I'm waiting for another shipment as we speak.
Yeah, there's nothing wrong with telling a customer, boy, I'd love to sell you my book, but, you know, I sold out of everything. I'll have to order more. Nothing wrong with that. That's a good problem to have.
They can always order it.
That's right. All right, well, let's get to it. And again, we're talking to author, illustrator, and artist Rochelle Wisaw Fields about her newest coffee table companion book, A Stone for the Journey. Can you read, maybe kick off and read a story to us from your book, A Stone for the Journey?
Yes. And the first story I want to read is called A Stone for the Journey.
All right.
And I will say that this story is not in any of the novels.
Okay.
Okay. The rabbi shut his prayer book. May Hashem grant us strength to see beyond our sorrow, and may the name of Edith Cohen be blessed. 8-year-old Hava Cohen gazed at the newly unveiled headstone. Could my sweet grandmother, who taught me to knead challah dough and sing blessings, really be buried under the grass? Isn't it hot and dark? Mama placed a large pebble on the marker. Hava tugged at Mama's sleeve. Why do we put rocks on graves when Christians put flowers on them? Kneeling, Mama wrapped her arm around Hava's shoulders. What happens after you pick a flower? It turns brown and dies. Can a rock die? Uh-uh. A stone is eternal, like your grandmother's soul. The more stones you see on a person's grave, the more he or she has been remembered. Hava opened her clenched fist and dropped a handful of pebbles. I will never forget you, Bubby.
Wow. That's pretty powerful, Rochelle. It really is. And you said that is not included in the original trilogy, that special story just for this book?
Right. Yeah. Kind of to explain the tradition of putting stones on the graves.
And I didn't even know that tradition. So I just learned something by listening to you read your first story from your book, A Stone for the Journey. That's, has that been a tradition within the Jewish community forever, like for years and years?
It has. Yeah. And honestly, I just learned about it myself over the past couple of years. Mm-hmm. I mean, I've seen the stones, but I never really knew what they meant until a few years ago.
Okay. You know, I either missed it or I didn't hear it the last time we talked. Hava and her family at the beginning, where did they start off? Where, did they come from Israel or were they from some other part in the world?
She starts in a small village called Eshtetl, mm-hmm. in what's now Moldova.
Okay.
It was then called Moldavia.
Okay.
In fact, the next story I have chosen to read is from the beginning of Please Say Kaddish for Me.
Okay, and then they made their way eventually over to the United States.
Right.
Okay. I just want to remind our listeners that before we get to the next story, we're talking to author, illustrator, and artist Rochelle Wisoff Fields. And we're having a follow-up conversation about her book. We had Rochelle on the show about a month ago or so. And her newest coffee table companion book for her trilogy, A Stone for the Journey. And Rochelle, before we get to your next story, can you tell our listeners again how they can get all of your books, including A Stone for the Journey?
Okay, you can get them on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or you can email me directly and I will sign them and ship them out.
All right, and your email address is on your website, which is RochelleWisoff.com.
Right.
A very impressive website, by the way. You have not only information about you, but you have information about your artwork, upcoming events, how to contact you, your books. You pretty much covered everything on here. Did you develop this website yourself?
I did.
You see, there you go again. You're an artist, illustrator, author, and now you're a website designer. This is a very impressive website with purple all over the place. I think we should mention that.
And it's called Addicted to Purple. That's right. For a good reason.
That's right. I love it. It's all over the place. Nothing wrong with that. And, of course, your motto, as you put on your website, growing older is inevitable. Growing up is optional, which we discussed last time. We've exercised our options. We're both, I'm 12. I think you admitted to 16 or something like that.
Pretty close.
That's right. Depending on the day. All right. Very good. Talking to Rochelle Wisoff Fields about her newest release, Coffee Table Companion Book, A Stone for the Journey. How about a second story from that book?
Hey, this one is called Orphaned, and it is an excerpt from Please Say Kaddish for Me from the very beginning.
Okay.
And I will let this one speak for itself. Mm-hmm. Run, Hava. The sound of her mother's last scream filled Hava's head and pounded in rhythm to her footsteps. Beech trees loomed in the forest ahead. Their gnarled roots circled above the ground like dancers at a wedding feast. They whispered somber melodies. Rocks, frozen grass, and thorns stabbed the soles of her bare feet. There had been no time for shoes, no time to dress. Who will pray for their souls? Who will remember David, the artist, or Mendel, the poet, or Mama, or Papa? She compelled her heavy mouth to shape the Hebrew prayer, Kaddish, prayer for the dead and prayer for the bereft. Magnified and sanctified is your great name. She detested its beauty. Her hands held over her ears could not blot out the cries of friends and neighbors, fast becoming memories, which you have created. Thorns grabbed at her nightgown, and she fought to ignore the fire in her lungs, according to your will. Run! Brambles ripped into her flesh. Run! The muscles of her legs burned. Don't stop. Run. Hava shivered as the wind whipped around and through her. But stronger than the cold was her determination. When she could no longer run, she walked, the heat of the flame scorching her back. Her tongue stuck to her frozen lips. Let his great name be blessed forever and to all eternity.
That's story number two, equally as powerful as story number one. And I think you said there are about 100 stories. Is that about right?
I think so. There's 249 pages, mm-hmm. And most of them are a page of story and a page of illustration beside it.
Yeah. Now, can you give us an idea? This is really difficult to do, so I'm putting you on the spot here, and I apologize in advance.
Okay.
The story you just read, can you give us an idea verbally as to what kind of drawing you did for that particular story?
I have a picture of Hava beside a tree, mm-hmm. in the moonlight, and she's in her nightgown, and her feet are bleeding. And she's, you know, standing on the roots of this beech tree, which their roots do grow above the ground.
Okay, I'm just curious. And of course, art is meant to be seen to be fully appreciated, right. So it's not quite the same. Right. That's what putting you on the spot came in. So at least I apologized ahead of time. I'm talking to author, illustrator, artist, and as we discovered, website designer Rochelle Wisall Fields, talking about her trilogy, which then brought forth A Stone for the Journey, her coffee table companion book. How about a third story, Rochelle? How about a third one?
Okay, the third one is a portrait of the Rabbi Yossel Gitterman. Mm-hmm. Now, as Hava has escaped her village, Natalia, she has come to another village called Svechka and has been taken in by one family, the Levines. And who are friends with the rabbi and his son, who Hava has fallen in love with. But that's another story.
Okay.
Rabbi Gitterman and Hava's adopted family, the Levines, were friends. She looked forward to his frequent visits, for he was not put off by her knowledge of the Torah, as some men, and always made time to discuss it with her. One summer evening after supper, while the Levines and Gittermans chatted over a final glass of wine, Hava excused herself. She sank onto a bench outside the kitchen door and imagined the happy voices inside belonged to her father, mother, and brothers. Where's the justice in my escape from death without them? Where's the Almighty's mercy that Papa used to speak of? Absorbed in her lonesome reverie, she did not hear the rabbi's cane scraping the ground and jumped when he said, "Lovely night to think about your parents of blessed memory." "How can you tell? Are you a mind reader?" He eased himself down beside her. "I'm a good listener." "When did you lose your eyesight, Rabbi?" 15 years ago. The fever of 1885 took my bride as well." "And you still continue to serve as rabbi? Wasn't it difficult? I mean, not being able to read, I mean. Do you ever feel sorry for yourself because you're blind?" "At first I did. Such blackness. I couldn't breathe. Alone. Trapped. I prayed for death. I pleaded. I begged. What changed? I realized the Almighty had shown me his infinite mercy." Hava bristled. "How can you call losing your wife and your sight his mercy?" Yossel inclined his head and smiled. "He never promised us happiness, but he has granted us life. And that, my daughter, is Ado Shem's mercy."
Wow, that works for me. Absolutely, it works for me. You know, listening to you read your stories, not only does it make a great coffee table companion book to pick up, but it's also a good book for somebody to read to others. I'm getting quite a bit out of it just listening to you read. So whether you read to another adult or a group of teenagers or elementary kids, have you thought about that, getting it out to groups where they can have a group reading or have a teacher read to their students?
I have done some classroom situations. My nephew is an English teacher,
okay.
But not from this book per se, but we are looking at doing a reading next spring at a local bookstore here. Mm-hmm. And I have done one at the library also.
Yeah, or maybe for some classes, at a synagogue? I'm just guessing, throwing ideas out there. But it sounds like the kind of book that I would like to have read to me. So if I can say that at my age, I'm guessing people, even, you know, way back still in school, would get the same reaction.
It is an avenue to pursue.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm impressed. And I hope you do pursue it, because this book needs to get out there, and not only on its own for people to read, but to be read to others. And again, you're listening to Dr. Paul's Family Talk on Impact Radio USA. This morning, we have a returning guest, author, illustrator, artist, Rochelle Wisoff Field. We're talking about the companion book to her trilogy, A Stone for the Journey. And Rochelle, before we get to a fourth story, which I'm going to ask you to read to our listeners, what was the original inspiration for the trilogy that eventually spawned this book?
My grandfather, actually, I found out all four of my grandparents were immigrants from Eastern Europe at the turn of the century.
Okay.
I knew mostly about my grandfather through my mother's stories, that he had escaped the pogroms in Poland and came here as a teenager and became a tailor. And I started out wanting to write a story about him, but there really was not enough information. So that sort of took me down the research trail.
Okay. Well, yeah, that makes sense. I'm always interested and curious about a writer's inspiration. That certainly makes a lot of sense. You were interested in researching your own family and basically how you came to be and how you came to be living in the United States and so on. Okay. And again, tell our listeners how they can get your book, A Stone for the Journey.
It is available on Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, or directly from the author, who will sign it and send it directly.
All right. And they can get your email address by going to, is it RochelleWisoff.com?
Yes.
All right. Easy enough to find. And why don't we move in to a fourth story from your book, A Stone for the Journey.
Okay. This one is called Foresight, and a little bit of backstory on this one. Hava has married her beloved Arl, who is Rabbi Yussel's son, and they've just had their first child, who they've got in this story. They get some bad news about her. And so another character in this story is Yitzchak, who is Arl's brother-in-law, and I will let him speak for himself also.
Okay.
A myriad of colors danced before Hava's eyes, and the room spun with dizzying speed. Somewhere from the miasma, she heard a woman's muffled scream. It was her own. Startled by Hava's outburst, Rachel wailed from Dr. Miklo's shoulder. She quieted as he patted her back and swayed. She's perfect in every other way. Indeed, she's a perfect child. Try to remember that, Mrs. Gitterman. Blind. My daughter's blind, Arl whispered, his voice an agonizing rasp. It's my fault, said Hava. I'm a bad mother. No, my dear girl, Dr. Miklo smiled sadly. It happens sometimes, and we doctors don't know why. Blind, Arl repeated. Blind. She's alive, little brother, said Yitzchak. Be thankful. Be thankful for what? She's been spared the sight of your face. Everything's a joke to you, isn't it? Without another word, Arl stomped to the front door and yanked it open. His shoulders drooped like an old man. With his grim eyes on Rachel, he frowned and stepped outside. Yussel, who had been quiet in his rocking chair until that moment, pounded his cane on the floor. Leaning it against the chair, he stretched out his arms. Give her to me. Once the doctor sat her on his lap, Yussel brushed his hand over her face. She, in turn, brushed her fingertips, like tiny feelers, over his nose and lips, grabbed a handful of his beard, and cooed. The people who walk in darkness have seen a great light. He cuddled her against his shoulder. I will teach her to see.
Wow, very well done. Very well done. Very impressive. And again, we're talking to author, illustrator, Rochelle Wistall Fields. And you did the original illustrations for every story in your book, correct?
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Now, how'd you do that? You started to explain it the last time we had you on. I think you said you drew it, like in pencil, and then you did the colors later. Is that how that worked?
Right. Most of them, they start out as pencil sketches, yeah, and then I do a watercolor wash over them.
Okay.
And because I was putting my character studies, they're like sepia portraits. My publisher saw them online because I blogged these, the portraits and little snippets of the books, to garner interest in the books.
Mm-hmm.
And he came back a couple of years ago and said, would you be interested in doing a coffee table companion book?
Wow.
To which I said, let me think about it. Yes.
Took about a quarter second to get that out. That's a little slower than usual, but it'll work.
If that long.
All right. And again, author, illustrator, Rochelle Wistall Fields, her newest book, A Stone for the Journey. Can we get a fifth story out of you before we have to go?
Oh, you bet.
All right.
This one is about Rachel. It's called Rachel Esther Gitterman. And this is an excerpt from the third book. And despite Arl's initial response to Rachel's blindness, and he wanted to put her in an institution, but he was thankfully talked out of it.
Okay.
And the characters in this story, at this point, Arl and Hava have adopted their nieces and nephews. And they have one nephew, Ruven, who is a very talented child. So Ruven's teacher did not appear to be nearly as austere and threatening to Hava as she had weeks before behind her school desk. Her light brown eyes shone in the candlelight, and she flashed a pleasant smile. Thank you for such a lovely supper, Mrs. Gitterman. I usually eat a sandwich on Sunday evenings while I grade papers. Miss Klein pulled a leather-bound book from her bag beside her chair and handed it to Ruven. I've enjoyed your hospitality so much, I almost forgot the reason I came in the first place. Thank you. Ruven opened the book, and his forehead puckered in a puzzled frown. The pages are empty. It's a journal. You're a gifted storyteller, Master Gitterman. I suspect you'll have those pages filled in no time. May I see the book? Asked Rachel. Miss Klein glanced at the girl and quickly looked back at Hava. I'm blind. Dr. Miklo says, I don't have any floppy nerves. Optic nerves, said Hava. I'm this many. Rachel held up three fingers and then raised another. I'll be this many in March. Want to hear me play piano? May I, Mommy? Always. Play something pretty. Kreplach rose up on all fours beside Rachel's chair as she grasped her halter. The dog led Rachel to the upright piano in the living room and lay down beside it. Using Kreplach as a step stool, Rachel climbed onto the bench and lifted the lid. Surely you don't allow her to bang on that lovely instrument, whispered Miss Klein. Hava smiled but said nothing until Rachel danced her tiny fingers across the keys in a playful melody. Miss Klein clapped her hand over her mouth. Bless my soul, it's Bach musette.
Extremely well done. Very, you know, I can actually feel the emotion behind all of your stories as you're reading them, which is a sign of a good writer. You know, you've taken me right
Thank
there.
You.
I'm sure you've taken our listeners there as well. And we want people to get this book today. And, you know, it's just in time for the holiday season, too. We can stock up and pass them out as gifts. And Rochelle Wistall Fields, A Stone for the Journey. Before we go, can you tell our listeners again how they can get that book right now? How can they order it?
It is available on Amazon.com or BarnesandNoble.com or from the author herself. You can email me at runtshell@gmail.com, RUNTSHELL. I'm 5 foot nothing, so that's where the name came from. I just, in case anyone was wondering.
Now, if they order it from you, you'll also sign the book, right?
I will indeed, and mail it back.
Not a bad deal. Not a bad deal at all. And again, very impressive. Rochelle Wisaw Fields, author, illustrator, artist. You just pretty much do it all. And I can tell you enjoy it, too. You're having a good time in life, aren't you?
I am. I get to come out and play every day. That's right. Right? My inner child and I have a great time.
That's right. The two of you alone all day. There's nothing wrong with that, right?
Right.
All right. Well, very good. Thanks for being with us. And if other information comes out or when you come out with new books, definitely give us a call. We want to get you back on.
I will. Thank you so much for having me back.
All right. You bet. Our pleasure. Again, Rochelle Wisaw Fields, get her book, A Stone for the Journey. And Rochelle, have a great day. And let's talk again soon.
All right. Thank you so much.
All right. Have a great day.
Bye. You too.